Now, after a false start some months ago, we are beginning anew our lessons in congregational singing, this time with a more complete plan before us in place. We hope to continue most, if not all, Lord's Day evenings in which we are not observing the Lord's Supper, so largely every other Sunday. The point is not simply to help us all sing better, but to honor the Lord with this part of our worship by doing our best, and as well by including everyone in that best that we are offering to God. And as well to prepare ourselves for a somewhat more sophisticated singing as a congregation in the months and years to come. More on that later. Singing is fundamental to Christian worship. It has been from the very beginning. Ours is a singing faith, really, without controversy, in a way that no other faith is, and no other philosophy of life. Others have their chants, to be sure. Some sing little or not at all. Al-Qaeda does not sing, considers singing to be sinful. But Christians sing, have always sung, and have always sung extraordinarily beautiful music to the glory of God. Singing, as you know, serves several purposes at the same time. It glorifies the words that we speak. It renders them more beautiful and powerful. It helps us to remember them. We can all much more easily remember words that we have learned to sing. And it sends them deeper into our hearts. God made us to sing, a fact we can take entirely too much for granted. But if those things are so, then we ought to prepare ourselves to sing as well and as beautifully as we can. We talk about doing our best in worship frequently, but we tend to simply assume that everyone will sing as well as he can, and we do little to help him or her do better. We also intend to sing differently in some ways when we have completed this course in congregational singing. We'll talk about that in a later class. But God is present to receive our worship. We know that. He has given us the ability. He has summoned us to sing to his praise, and so surely we ought to do that as well as we possibly can. Tonight we begin again with singing in harmony. Harmony is important for several reasons. First, it's beautiful, as everyone knows who just listened to harmony being played and then being sung. And Christian worship ought to be beautiful. The Bible talks about the beauty of worship. We ought to make it as beautiful as we can for God and for ourselves and for the wandering unbeliever who finds himself in our services of a Lord's Day. That honors God, who made music and made it beautiful. We all know, I think, all of us know how beauty affects us, it stirs us, it moves us, especially beautiful music. And harmony makes music beautiful. But more than that, harmony reflects the world and human life as God, in fact, made them. He made women's voices to be different than men's. He made some men and some women to sing in a higher range than other men and women. All of this he has done. And when we sing in harmony, we reflect the wisdom and the genius of God who brought such a unity out of such profound diversity. Nothing so powerfully expresses our common life as Christians in the church, the essential mystery of Christian life as koinonia, as the harmony that we sing in the praise of God. Four different notes being sung, and the result is not disorder, but in fact a more perfect order. To that end, sopranos, altos, tenors, and basses are all able to contribute what they have been given to the common contribution of the church. Our various persons, our abilities, our gifts, our individualities, tone, musical quality, and so on, are contributed and combined, contributed to and then combined in the whole. I've often told you, in fact, that standing where I stand, I do not hear a cacophony of voices. I hear only one sound, but a sound made up of many sounds. And not just many different people singing the same sound, but many different sounds. Margaret Eby. Where's Margaret? Okay.
Mr. Bechdel, if you could give me a B-flat. Man of sorrows, what a name for the Son of God who came. Man of sorrows, what a name for the Son of God who came. Again. Man of sorrows, what a name. All right, you've just learned the bass line to that hymn, Man of Sorrows, What a Name. I teach the bass line first because it's the foundation on which the rest of the hymn is built. We'll talk a little bit more about that later. Let's learn another line. My music right side up would help.
Man of sorrows, what a name for the Son of God who came.
Repeat that.
Man of sorrows, what a name for the Son of God who came.
Can I have the men sing the first line? Here it is.
Man of sorrow, what a name for the Son of God who came.
And the next line, men only.
Man of sorrows, what a name for the Son of God who came.
Okay, I had a little trouble hearing you, so we're going to try it again. A little less piano so I can hear them. This is the bass line. Do you need to hear it? Okay, I didn't see nodding, so I guess that means you know it. Bass line, please.
Man of sorrows.
Very nice. And the tenor line, please.
Man of
So men, was there a line that felt better for your voice, that fit you more naturally, or maybe that you learned very easily? If there was, I want you to choose that line, and from now on, that's your line. All right? Does that make sense? What I would like to do is try to put those two lines together. Do you need to hear it again, or can we do it together? This is men only. Are you ready?
Man of sorrows.
Very nice, lovely. So that tenor line, we learned earlier that the bass line is the foundation on which everything else is built. That tenor line begins to bring in the harmony of the piece. That harmonic structure is what the composer uses to give you the mood or the sense of a feeling with the hymn. And a lot of times you'll hear in the middle of a hymn that mood changes. That's done with what I call the inner voices. So the outer voice is the bass, the other outer voice is the soprano, and the inner voices are the tenors and the altos. What I would like to do is hear the children, who I heard practiced this, sing the melody. So children, will you sing the melody for me? Do you need me to hear it? Do you need me to sing it once? How about I sing it once? Man of sorrows, what a name for the Son of God who came. Children. Man of sorrows, very nice. Men, can you sing your part? Children, join the men. Ready? Here we go. That's gorgeous. All right, we're missing a part. We're missing the alto part. So ladies, I'd like to teach you the alto line. That's one of those inner voices, and it will complete the harmony that we're starting to hear now. So, ladies.
Man of sorrows, what a name for the Son of God who came.
Very nice. Can we put all four parts together? Ready? That's beautiful. That is gorgeous. Let's talk a little bit about what we've learned so far. Actually, before we do that, I have another challenge for you. Now that you're becoming more comfortable with the part that you're learning, it's time for you to listen to the parts you're not singing. So, for example, the children are singing the melody. If the children are singing the melody and the rest of us are singing three other parts, we need to sing quite a bit softer so we can hear that melody, correct? So I want you to contain some of that sound and listen to the children sing the melody when you sing. The other thing I want you to listen for is the alto line on name. All of the rest of us hit name and stay there, but the altos sing two notes. It's actually called a passing tone because it goes from one note to another and then to the next. It passes through. So you have to continue singing and listen to the altos sing their notes. And then there's one more thing I want you to hear. I want you to hear the tenor line on the last two words that we sing, which are who came, right? That's another passing tone. It happens a little more quickly than anything we've heard so far, and it's very important. All right, can you remember all that? You have to sing your line, you have to listen for the melody, you have to listen for the altos on name, and listen for the tenors on who came. All right, let's try it. Absolutely gorgeous. You're doing amazingly well already. You've come a long way. Let's talk about what we've learned. We've learned that the bass line is the foundation on which all of the hymn is built. We've learned that the two inner voices give the hymn its mood, and that the mood is set by the harmony that the composer uses. We've learned, hopefully by now, that you don't need music to learn harmony. I have never once asked you to look at your music. It's helpful if you read it, but you don't need to. You just need to listen to the people that are around you. And if you happen to be a woman who can't hear that alto line, but there's amazing tenor behind you, it's okay to sing the tenor line with them. That's one way to learn harmony, is to sing with the people that are seated around you. In conclusion, while we are emphasizing that the importance of singing hymns in part, we need to never forget that the music enhances the poetry. The music is there to improve our understanding of what is being said. As your musical skills develop, we will all have a better ability to sing in a way that enhances our understanding of what we're singing. next lesson, Lord willing, we're going to teach some techniques that you can apply to help enhance the understanding of the poetry. Thank you.